Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, final hour of the old radio program. Hey, it's Kraken Media Day. Ian will be all over it today at starting at 1 o'clock. So be sure to tune in at 1 o'clock. Ian will have a bunch of interviews, bunch of coverage from Kraken Media Day. We are broadcasting from the Superior Linen Service Studios, fifth generation family-owned laundry business since 1926, specializing in hotel, hospitality, and medical linen. Reach them at suplinen.com, suplinen.com, or give them a call, 253-383-2636. Thanks to John McMasters, $800 donation raised our total to $22,800 for the Ronald McDonald House. Headlines, of course, brought to you at this hour, Buddy's Goodies and Glass. You know what they say at Buddy's Goodies and Glass? It's always 420 at Buddy's. Jimmy Lake Show tonight, 6 o'clock. Puppy's taking on the Bears on Saturday. They're at 6:30. So what does pregame start at? 2? 2 o'clock for pregame? Sounds about right. 2 o'clock pregame right here on 950 KJR, your home of the Huskies. Other news and notes of the day. Well, the injury's mounting up in the NFL for quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa, he's banged up. He's out against the Raiders, fractured ribs. Justin Fields, going to start for the Bears. Andy Dalton is out. Roethlisberger trying to do everything he can to play on Sunday. Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown, he's on the COVID-19 list, third player this week there for the team. Mariners in action, they're taking on the A's, game 3 of that 4-game set, still 3 games out of the wild card, 11 games to go. Chris Flexen will be on the mound coming up later. Mariners still have a faint shot, just a faint shot. All right, we'll talk to Hugh Millen here coming up briefly. His appearance every Wednesday at 12:05, brought to you by Jack's Barbecue. This hour brought to you by Farm Fresh Northwest. Visit them on Twitter and Instagram at FarmFreshNW. Check out their website at NorthwestFarmFresh.com. If you log on now to NorthwestFarmFresh.com and you use the code KJR in the checkout, your first visit, you're going to take $15 off your order. Got the round steak the other day in one of the packages that I just got. We just made a ropa vieja this week. Man, was that tasty. Brought that for lunch, huh? Good stuff right there. NorthwestFarmFresh.com. Let's talk a little football, shall we? We talk football with one of the best. Number one in the program. All-around good guy. Got a great sense of humor. He's got a great brain. He's got a great soul. Ladies and gentlemen, Hugh Millen.
Buck, how you doing?
I'm doing. God, you sound good. You sound like you're right next to me.
Well, I've got a USB mixer here, and I'm sitting in the Boise airport and trying to make a little studio in the corner. How about that?
You had a number of
things wrong in that little intro, including the fact that I'm utterly humorless. So, it sounds good.
Hey, this sounds better than anything else that you've used. I'm not exaggerating.
Come on.
I swear to God, hand to God, whatever you are doing, whatever this setup is, this needs to be the permanent one.
Okay. So every time I'm on KJR, I will go to the Boise airport. Done.
No, but whatever you're using, are you on a phone or a computer? What are you using?
I'm on a computer. Is this for on air?
Why not? Our
standard OnSIP software.
Well, sounds
and
great.
I've got I got the USB mixer and, you know. Yeah. I've got it in Barry White mode, so I don't know if that's coming through, but here we are.
I wish they would.
I haven't had any dirty looks yet, but I'll tell you what, when the flight from Boise to Denver starts boarding, you might might wish that you hurry up and ask me some football questions.
Yeah, that's right. You can you briefly tell people why you're headed there? Is that okay?
I think it's of course. Yeah, Mark Patterson, former Washington Husky, Seattleite, Roosevelt High School. He had a very significant accomplishment. One of only a couple hundred guys in the history of the world to summit the seven summits. That's the tallest peak in each of the seven continents. And this past spring, he I wouldn't say conquered Everest. He wouldn't say he conquered Everest, but he was able to get to the top and limp down. And what an amazing accomplishment. The NFL Network has chronicled this. They've got some X trillion hours of tape and everything. They're going to condense it into a 30-minute documentary on September 28th. What is that, Tuesday? This coming Tuesday. So the debut of the documentary is here in Sun Valley. I'm on my way to Sun Valley, and a lot of people you know, Jim Mora Jr., Jim Mora Sr., Tom Flick. I mean, a lot of Huskies and dear friends of Mark are going to be up there for this debut tomorrow night. And then we'll all see it, and it'll be available on the NFL Network. So take a peek at that.
It's great, man. I was following that whole thing with him and on Instagram, on Twitter, everything he was doing. I think it's simply awesome. The people that can put themselves through the mental, the physical, and probably most important, emotional grind of summiting that mountain is inspiring. I just think it's incredible. And I've read Into Thin Air about John Krakauer,
yep.
And I just understand how the scary points of the mountain, how much things can change up there, and it's just it's crazy, man.
Well, he got snow blind on the night he summited, and then he got left up there alone by his Sherpa without oxygen. I mean, he was perilously close to being another statistic. And as you know, that's kind of the Everest mantra. If mm-hmm. if you pass up there, they just leave you. You're just entombed in the ice, for centuries. And so that's what he was facing. He was crawling over dead bodies left and right, and they had people die on the expedition. They had a Sherpa fall in a crevasse and die. I mean, it's... he was texting me every day during the venture and just all the avalanches and the ice falls. I mean, it's far more. I read Krakow, as you said, and it's far more harrowing than I ever even thought, just kind of coming through the first person from Mark. So he's going to be hailed tomorrow, and he well deserves it.
All right, let's talk a little football. The Titans, let's start first with them because I think a lot of people are going to know maybe defensively what happened to Seattle. Titans, just overall, what did they see, maybe on both sides of the ball, but you start with whatever one you want. What did they see from Seattle, made necessary adjustments in the second half, and why were they so much more effective on both sides of the ball?
Well, I'll start with the challenge for the Seahawks defense. You know, when you really kind of get down to it, you got a likely Hall of Famer in Derrick Henry. Now maybe it's a little young to pronounce him that, for sure higher Hall of Famer in Julio Jones, and it's the yin and the yang of trying to defend those guys, because Seattle, they feel compelled to run what's called a double eagle, which is where you have defensive linemen essentially nose guards. Mm-hmm. And now I know Collier and some other guys, but we'll call it defensive tackles or interior type players covering both guards and the center. And then to have the edge, you're going to have two ends. So it's a kind of what offensive linemen call five down. And so it's real simple in protection. Okay, five down. But if all five of those guys rush, then you're only playing, let's do the math, you're only with six guys back there. So that means you can either run man-to-man, in which case who's going to cover Julio Jones? And they've got A.J. Brown on the other side too, right? Or you play a zone with one less guy. Standard zone's going to be seven guys, three deep, four under. You have to play a three deep, three under zone. And so there's a lot of holes in there. So that kind of dilemma really was in play. The other part of it is that while many fans in town are bemoaning how the Huskies just run between the tackles, everything's up the middle, why can't they get wide? Well, for the Titans, it was the exact opposite. The vast majority of the damage and the reps and everything were all to the outside. They got into two tight end sets and they were running the outside stretch. They ran pin and pull where they were down block with the tight ends and then they pull the guard and the tackle around. They had a lot of schemes to get to the outside, and here's what happens. It weighs on you. If you're a defensive lineman, you have to sprint to the sideline or else it's a loaf. So those outside runs, while Derrick Henry is fresh as a daisy, and at a man his size, you just shake your head. Well, that's why he's Derrick Henry, right? 2-time rushing champion. But the Seahawks linemen, after what was the time of possession? 42 minutes for the Titans. You know, in the second half, with them having to again not defend just not the up the gut, which has its own challenges, but having to sprint to the sideline, play after play after play, you know, finally, you know, if you watch the first half, when the defensive line came off the ball, there was a stalemate, right? They were changing the running angles. Now in the second half, they're a little bit taller. They're getting moved a little bit more. And as I said, with those good blocking tight ends, you know, and I'll just close with this, that 60-yard run, that was a counteraction where starting to the right, but it was actually designed to go back to the left. You had a Jamal Adams blitz. He took himself out of the play. A.J. Brown, a receiver, easily blocked him in the backfield. And Trey Flowers was expecting more help. And then Quandre Diggs took a bad angle. And so that's the anatomy of a 60-yarder. But that was the play of the game and kind of a, you know, real embodiment of the Seahawks struggles.
Hugh Millen joins us every Wednesday at 12:05, talking all things football, brought to you by Jack's Barbecue. Visit them at jacksbbq.com. Carlos Dunlap played barely, 26 snaps. A scheme thing against the Titans? I mean, I guess we don't know about an injury. They haven't said anything. What? Any rhyme or reason to that?
Yeah, it's concerning to me. I mean, now, you know, one game is not a trend. You know, one game can just be an aberration, but that one game, he just was not explosive. He came off the ball, stood up, didn't seem to have his array, almost seemed distracted. Now that's way overboard for me as an analyst to even speculate as that, but he just seemed like for whatever reason, he wasn't into the game. There wasn't that competitiveness. He didn't have any counter moves. He just was not explosive. So whatever's happening there, It's a one game, but because he's in a position of such importance, you take note. And as I described that five down, and I said, okay, the dilemma if you rush five, well, what the Seahawks will typically do is they'll say, well, we want to play zone and we want to have a sound zone, meaning seven guys, not six, so we're going to drop one of the defensive ends. If we drop Benson Mayoa into the flat, then you got three defensive tackles essentially just right in that guard area. One of them has to have contained, so they have to loop. So you're not going to get any pass rush off of that side, on the Benson Mayoa side, because he dropped. And again, you don't have the body style and you don't have the alignment to pressure the quarterback on that side. But on the other side where you have Carlos Dunlap, he's got to fire his gun. I mean, he's the cleanup hitter in the lineup. If you're the end on the opposite side of the drop, dude, you've got to win against that left tackle, at least win occasionally. And it didn't materialize on Sunday. We'll see if that becomes a trend over the next couple weeks.
Why are third downs for this offense just the bugaboo? It was the last few years. We thought it was going to change now. With a new offensive coordinator, they had their issues in the first game against the Colts and then still have the same issues against the Titans.
Yeah, a lot of things. First of all, from a scheme standpoint, I'll give an example of that. Second play of the game, the Seahawks line up in this diamond quad empty backfield. And what that forced to do, four receivers on one side all stacked up together. You got DK Metcalf on the opposite side. You watch how the defense reacts. Well, the weak side linebacker, on the side of DK Metcalf, he pushed. That's the term that defenses use. He pushed to the four receiver side so aggressively that there was a huge vacant area had Metcalf run a slant or an in-breaking route. And Metcalf on that occasion ran the quick out. He caught the ball, but he didn't get both feet in. Shane Waldron should have come back to that formation and say, look, if you're going to push to the four receiver side like that, we're going to have isolation on both outbreaking and inbreaking routes. So you had issues with Waldron. You had issues with Russell Wilson, you know, clutch in the second half there. Now, he had a hell of a game, and he's leading the NFL in passer rating, so it's hard to bang on him. But in the clutch, I think he'd be to tell you, hey, I had statistically a great game, but in the fourth quarter, I missed some. That third down fade route in the fourth quarter to DK Metcalf, as DK Metcalf was gaining width, that ball was was underthrown and vastly too far inside. So he, you know, and in the overtime, they that third down in the overtime where he took the sack by the goal line. You know, he had Tyler Lockett maybe on an intermediate route. So you say, Russ, hey, throw on timing there. But if he didn't like it because it was jammed up, the other two receivers, including Metcalf, were running routes that were well short of the yard to gain. So, me, if you only give the quarterback one receiver at the depth, I don't like that play call. You know, there was times where Russell on third down, he had an opportunity to step up and find DK Metcalf on a shallow cross against man coverage. He could have run for days, but he had a response to pressure, which he often does, where he gives ground. And you know, my theory is that he doesn't step up like most quarterbacks because he's short. He doesn't, mm-hmm. He's not going to have the vision. But nonetheless, if you're just grading a quarterback by NFL standards and you're seeing crossing routes and the right tackle is funneling that end out to the outside, or forcing, I should say, allowing the quarterback to step up in the pocket. This is exactly the way you draw it up on a whiteboard. You got to hit that shallow cross. But meanwhile, Russell's giving ground and you know, losing 15 yards and then missing the throw down the field. So I could go on and on. It's just the execution, the play calling. It just wasn't in sync for Seattle on third down and quite frankly, other downs in fourth quarter and overtime.
All right, speaking of DK, he comes home from school. He puts his backpack down on the couch, and his father, Hugh, sits him down to have a conversation about his attitude. What do you say to him?
Oh, boy. He's my son. I would say, look, you're not helping yourself. You're not helping the team. Once you chose not to be a wrestler or a golfer or a tennis player, and you chose football, you have an obligation to how you fit in this team. And if you're hurting the team, then what does that say about you? And do you like what that says about you? And so, you know, first things first, you've got to stop hurting the team in those things. Now, that's what I would say if I was the father of DK Metcalf. If I was the father of Pete Carroll or Shane Waldron, I'd say, what are you guys, idiots? Do you not understand what a freaking thoroughbred you have here? Why are you not targeting this guy? Why are you not, you know, you throw four deep balls to him, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get one completion, you're going to get one pass interference, and your two incompletions are going to scare the hell out of the defense, and it's going to open up all the other stuff. And so Shane Waldron and Pete Carroll are creating a combustible environment for a guy that they know is a burning elite competitor. Elite. Now, they're all competitors in the NFL. DK Metcalf is an elite competitor. You have to understand his mindset and what is the environment that you're going to get the best from him. He's just simply too good. Think of what all the other teams would do if they had a DK Metcalf. They'd say, hey, listen, we know that the guy he's on edge as a feisty competitor. You know what helps him is getting him the freaking football, or at least targeting him.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And so I think the Seahawks are making a big mistake. Now, that doesn't absolve, again, Metcalf with the frustration. He's got to handle that better. There's no question about that. It's undisputed. But Seattle, you know, you just were quoting, I'm a man, I'm 40. Well, guess what? Shane Waldron's 40. And Pete Carroll is a lot more than 40. And those guys are smart enough to know how to deal with a guy like Metcalf who has that kind of talent and that kind of temperament. They're making a big mistake, in my opinion, how they're using him.
A quick little note on Jason Myers. Should we be concerned at all? I mean, a huge missed extra point this last game. Special teams has not been special through the first two games so far of the year.
You're going to have to tell. Okay, here's the deal. I looked this guy up. In his career, he's missed 20. In his entire career, he's missed 23 field goals. He has missed 24 extra points.
Jesus. Seriously?
And here's another one. In his Seahawks career, He is 91% on field goals, and he's 91% on extra points. You have to go into decimal points and shave decimal points before you find the distinction where he's just slightly better in the PATs. But he's a 91%er on both.
So he's missed 23 field goals and 23 missed extra, and 24 missed extra points?
Yep, in his entire career. And by the way, his Seahawks career is even more, the percentage is even more glaring.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Why? Now, do you have a rhyme? You think about this stuff. Why? Why do you think you struggle?
Well, I think I've always thought, and I've held for a couple Pro Bowl kickers, and I always think that when you scout a kicker, you scout his leg, but you better scout his head every bit and more so. And now we're wading into pure conjecture, right? But if you want to just try, what I would say is the inference to the best explanation would be this. When he's kicking a field goal, he has a different mindset. When his extra point, it's like it's a no-win situation, and maybe he puts more pressure on himself, and maybe the fact that he's missed some is in his head more now, like, oh boy, oh, the dreaded PAT, you know, because there's just nobody's gonna give you a high five when you kick the PAT, but maybe he's more relaxed when he kicks a field goal. Because his percentages, you say, well, where is he in the 30 to 39 range? You know, because obviously a PAT is now a 35 yarder. Well, his percentage is in 30 to 39. I haven't been able to break it down exactly, like maybe 34 to 36, but 30 to 39, he has a much higher percentage than he does on extra points. So it is a mystery, but I think it's topical because that extra point was kind of the beginning of the downfall. And Tennessee, for example, last year was 57% in their two-point conversions. The year before, when their offense was actually better, they were 33%. So you have to figure that if Tennessee is forced into a two-point, you know, you got a coin flip chance of winning the game right there, just defending the damn two-point. And the missing the extra point allowed Tennessee to not have to get into that situation, obviously. I mean, we all understand how the math played out in that fourth quarter and overtime. But it was just, you know, Jason Myers, hey, you're a hell of a kicker. You haven't missed any field goals, but we need you to make these extra points. And history has shown that it's been a little bit of a struggle.
That was well worth it. And that's just between you and me.
I'll tell everybody. I'll spill the bean. I said, hey, we text. I said, hey, ask me about Myers. And you were just apoplectic about the idea that I was prompting you to ask me about the kicker.
I said, you want me to ask you about the bleeping kicker?
Yes, yeah, that's well, that's apoplectic. Yes, yeah that fits under that. Like, that's under the category.
Yeah, I just didn't, you know, I don't like.
Well,
talk
none of us
kickers,
really
unless
do, right?
We're going to talk Jason Hansen, who's the greatest.
Well, you know what? Kickers are like attorneys. You know, everybody bangs on attorneys and until you need one, right? Well, guess what? At some point, you're going to need a kicker, and they needed one to make that damn PAT to force the Titans into a 2-point situation, right? Hey, so,
enjoy your time. Celebrating with your good friend, give Mark a shout out from all of us and tell him way to go and what a hell of an accomplishment. Enjoy your time, Hugh. We'll talk next week.
Man, will indeed. All right, thanks, Buck.
There he is, Hugh Millen, brought to you by Jack's Barbecue every Wednesday there at 12:05. What's up with that Wednesday coming up next? Also, we find a new studio sponsor. If you'd like to sponsor this show, please give Curtis a call at 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. We continue to sell our sponsorship for the week and raise money for the Ronald McDonald House.
Tune in tonight at 6 for the Jimmy Lake Show with Dave Softie Muller and Tony Castricone on your home for the Huskies.
What I'm going to think of.
All right, final segment for us, before we talk to the mayor coming up in our next segment. He will be coming your way there at 1 o'clock. I believe he's been over at Kraken Media Day, so he'll have some information for you about what has been transpiring today there at Kraken Media Day. Their first game, preseason game, coming up on Sunday, which is just amazing. It's just crazy. All right, quickly, we got to do it. 49451, that is open as well. But also the phone number is available at 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. We're picking our new studio sponsor today. If you'd like to sponsor this train wreck of a show, 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. A minimum $500 donation, please. We are on our final day of the Superior Linen Service Studios. Big thanks to John McMasters. He made an $800 donation to raise our total to $22,800 for the Ronald McDonald House. If you would like to sponsor, you can reach out to us via the text line 49451, if that's easier for you, or at 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. Give Curtis a call. 1 week, sponsor mentioned every day. You'll run through on next week. You'll start up tomorrow, and we'll run it through next Wednesday. All proceeds, again, going to the Ronald McDonald House. 49451 or 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. We open up the bidding for a brand new studio sponsor here for the next week. It's also a What's Up With That Wednesday as well. There we go. 206 would like to know, beginning to question your Americanism. What's with all these un-American underpicks? What's next, ketchup on hot dogs? It's not, I'll be honest with you, and Curtis knows, it's not fun. It's not fun picking the under. It's miserable.
Sometimes a team has better players than you. Sometimes it's just the right call, though.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the right call. You're damn right. We took the under for our fact or fiction pick coming up in the Puppies and Bears game. I just believe there's not going to be a lot of offense play. So I think that the smart pick there is the under. Now, are you grinding on it? Yeah, you're damn right you're grinding on it. It's miserable. Because you don't want anything that good to happen. But I don't know, man. It's hard for me to envision Washington scoring more than 22 points when Nevada couldn't. And Nevada just simply has a better offense. Like, it's not even debatable. And so if they can't score more than 20, I'm not quite sure if Washington and Dylan Morris and that team. I mean, Carson Strong has the shot to be the first quarterback taken this year. I mean, Carson Strong's a big – he's completing 68% of his passes. He's a stud. And he had – again, they dropped 22 on him, and he had he was an okay game. But Dylan Morris is not Carson Strong. So, I don't know. Washington could win. Could be an ugly game. But, hell, I don't think they're dropping more than 22. And that was a 22-17 ball game that Nevada ended up beating Cal. So we'll see. Usually these last games have been real defensive games between Washington and Cal. So we are taking the history on this one between two defensive-minded coaches, and that's why we took the under. Again, you still have time till the top of the hour, 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950, or you can text in at 49451. If you would like to be the studio sponsor here for the next week, all proceeds going to the Ronald McDonald House. We are on the final day of the Superior Linen Service Studios, a fifth generation of family-owned laundry business since 1926. We asked for a minimum bid of $500 to continue this, and we have raised $22,800 there for the cost. So, as we go to break, you give Curtis a call at 286-9595 or 1-800-829-0950 or text in at 49451. We'll crosstalk with Ian, and we'll wait for somebody to call in to be the new studio sponsor for the next week. But for that, we're closing. We're rolling to the end.
Plowing ahead.
Coming up next, it's Mayor
Ian Furness.
All right, listen up. All right, so remember, the category is fact or fiction.
Your next chance to win $1,000 in the Emerald Coin.
Coach, I'll just tell it like it is. A lot of lack of discipline, at least in the first half here.
Who made you the coach?
No one.
Furness is here.
Hello, 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 hello.
What's going on?
Fresh off Kraken Media Day. You're up there. We're doing a bunch of stuff with the players. You told me the players Good group.
You know what? Yeah.
Good group of guys. Well, they're most are Canadian, right?
Well, a lot of Swedes, a couple of Finns.
Hey, couple the Scandinavians get it.
Couple Americans in the mix. No Russians.
That's good.
Exactly.
They always
now,
wait,
I'm looking at the roster to make sure there aren't any Russians on there. I don't think there are. I didn't talk to any Russians today. But, yeah, salt of the earth, guys. Yeah. Every guy likes to play golf. Are you shocked by that?
Why hockey players, why? Is it a similar motion?
Well, it's funny. Who was I talking to?
Curtis had to put on his headsets right away. He's like, oh, did you just mention golf and hockey? I've got a funny story about this.
So Hayden Fleury is a defenseman, played for Anaheim last year, and is a Western Canadian kid from Saskatchewan. He's an avid golfer, and when he asked about a similar swing, he shoots left in hockey, but he swings right in golf. So that seems kind of ass backwards to me.
I mean, I would assume hand-eye.
But hand-eye, and listen, like wrist strength and the torque that those guys all have. I mean, all the stuff that you and I have, like, don't have, like core muscles and things like that.
Let's Curtis, why?
I was just going to say in their off seasons this summer. I mean, it is super convenient in that way.
I thought you were going to bring more than that, Curtis. You had, like, a real good reason.
Hayden Fleury says he'll play in pouring down rain, doesn't care.
You know, I used to be that way.
Yeah.
I have softened up.
But listen, from Saskatchewan. So, like, if it's not minus 40, it's probably fine to play.
Yeah.
You know, his bar is a little bit lower than yours and mine.
They love it, though. They love hockey.
Yeah, no, it's
– excuse me. They love hockey.
No, they love golf.
They love golf.
Yeah, no, guys were fun, man. They were – there's a good group of guys to talk to.
Good.
And it was refreshing, I'll say this, talking to those athletes.
Who's the – okay. Can you maybe not on the air. Can you give me someone that's going to be perfect for me? Who's just a loose cannon?
Oh,
I need a loose cannon. You can do it on the air. I don't care.
Tanev might be. I'm gonna. We'll
Tanev?
Play. Yeah, Brendan Tanev. We're gonna actually run an interview with him at 1:30 or 2 today. Let me see. Hang on.
Who's gonna
Somebody
be?
Somebody did come.
Who's gonna be the closest to Bissonnette?
Did
you hear about him?
What did he do now?
TNT hired him.
Well, yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. This is podcast all the time. That's Spit Chicklets is fantastic.
I can't believe they hired him. do you think they'll have to have the dump button for him?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, for sure.
He's going to I guarantee he swears on that broadcast.
McCann might be fun with you. Okay. Riley Shahan. Riley Shahan. It looks like Sheehan, but it's Riley Shahan.
Played for
Buffalo last year. He's a forward. I'm thinking of the guys at all. We had him reading liners.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, you're listening to Chuck and Buck on 950 KJR. You're listening to the Jason Puckett Show.
Yeah.
Almost every one of them. You're listening to Softy and Dick on 950 KJR, and every one of them, and we had to say, and they're a couple of them. I think McCann might have been one of them. Somebody said, "Hey, come on, man! Like that's not a real show. No, that's a real show.
No, hold on, wait a minute, hold on."
Hey, what's happening? This is Kobe Bryant. You're listening to the Dave Softy Meyer Show on 950 KJR.
So that's what they were reading, Softy and Dick, and every one of them did it and kind of like snickered.
Well, you should snicker.
Like Grubauer.
Softy and Dick?
I think.
Soft Dick?
I think.
They should rename the show. Why they haven't done that yet?
I don't know.
It's the Soft Dick Show. What?
I think the goalie Grubauer, I think he thought we were jacking him around. he's like, is that really?
Soft Dick?
Yeah, come on now. Okay. Listen, man, I'm a Vezina Trophy finalist. What are you doing to me? Stanley Cup
The late,
winner.
Great Kobe.
Oh.
Man.
Hey, what's happening? This is Kobe Bryant. You're listening to the Dave Softy Meyer Show on 950 KJR.
Actually, you know what? Grubauer might be your guy.
Okay.
We're going to play him tomorrow. And I did ask him about your boy, Ovechkin. And what kind of bender they had after the – because he played for the Capitals.
Oh, he did.
When they won it.
Oh, that's perfect.
And he talks about 7 days of benders. I mean, just what a gong show it was. So then we got into what would happen here, you know, and he's talking about like renting a ferry boat. And
did he jump into the fountain?
I didn't ask him that. It was, but he was, you could probably go down that road with him, Puck.
That's what I want.
Honestly, I'll give you every guy we talked to for the most part, you could probably have fun with. I think you'd really like Hayden Fleury.
Okay.
Avid golfer.
Good.
Hates video games. His younger brother, Cale, you know, is on the team.
Okay.
And like he's just like, yeah, man. Like I'm telling my parents he's not playing video games, but he's playing video games all the time. And I just like, want get out and play golf instead, guy. That's what he's telling me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you like him.
All right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What do you got? So you got that. What else you guys got coming
well,
up?
Well, we got our guy PFF Steve joining us at about 1:05 today. We'll talk about how bad the Seahawks really were. I loved Hugh Millen killing Jason Myers. Huh? How about that?
Can you imagine that stat? Can you believe that stat?
I just 91 and 91.
He's missed more extra points in his career than field goals.
He was right. We brought it up briefly the other day. Like, that was a problem. Like, you.
It's crazy.
They should have lost an over in regulation.
Oh, great.
Just give it to Derrick Henry from 2 yards out.
Right.
What's going to happen?
100%.
I mean, come on. So, yeah, we'll talk to PFF Steve. Casey Keller will join us about 2:05, 2:10 today. Talk about the whatever they're playing for tonight.
Okay.
And, like I said, Brandon Tanev, who played for Pittsburgh last year. Fun guy to talk to. He is. Oh, you might like. You know what? I think you would like him. Avid cooking channel and Food Network guy.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, which is the same thing to me. I'm like, I watch that probably more than I watch ESPN.
You're damn right.
You know.
All right, the mayor's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. We promise to be better.
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for? We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy, I don't speak Japanese!
Tune in Sunday night for Game 1 of the preseason as the Kraken take the ice for the first time ever against the Vancouver Canucks.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.